From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. You're listening to Idaho Matters. Men outnumber women in the Idaho legislature more than 2-1, and women often lag behind other political offices here in the Gem State. So how do women fare in Idaho politics? Well, that was the question that Dr. David Adler, the head of the Alturas Institute, wanted to dig into as part of his Conversations with Exceptional Women. That's happening this Thursday and Friday at the Yonke Center in Boise. So to help us answer that question, we're joined today by Idaho Legislature's Minority Leader, Senator Melissa Wintrow, and Assistant Minority Leader, Representative Laura Necochea. They'll be speaking at the Women, Politics, and Rights in Idaho panel Thursday afternoon. And Dr. David Adler is also joining us. I want to welcome all of you to the program.
Thank you, Gemma. Great to be with you.
So before we jump in, I actually just want to quickly talk about some current headlines. Senator Wintrow and Representative Necochea, do you know if the Idaho legislature will go back into special session before the end of the month to put a presidential primary election in place?
That's the question on everyone's mind. There seems to be disagreement between the Senate and the House. As Democrats, we've been so consistent in expressing our hope that we can have an election where people go and vote in the presidential primary rather than having a burdensome caucus. But the clock is running out.
It certainly is. Well, I appreciate the update on that. I do want to focus now on the reason why you're all here, and that's women in Idaho politics. So, Dr. Adler, why did you want to focus specifically on this right now?
Well, thank you, Gemma, for having us. The first point to be noted is, of course, that our conference, Conversations with Exceptional Women, has as its theme this year, Courage is Contagious, Standing Up for Women. And this theme reflects the goal that should be pursued by not only women, but by men, and that is to promote women's rights and participation in American politics at every level. And the more people pursue that goal and speak up to defend women, I think the more participants we'll have in that wonderful process. I think it's a very important point, Gemma, to say that in Idaho, we need more women holding office. The Idaho legislature is comprised of just 1/3 of female legislators, so a disproportionate number of men write the laws of our state. And in many ways, the interests, the rights of women are overlooked by this disproportionate representation. So whether we're looking at Idaho or we're looking at the nation as a whole, we recognize that we have a gross gender gap and that it needs to be closed so that we can enjoy the insights and wisdom of women across the country.
Senator Wintrow, you have served in the Idaho legislature since 2014. You've served in both the House and the Senate. Have you seen changes for women in the state house over this almost decade that you've been there?
Thank you, Gemma, for having me on the show today. The biggest changes I'm seeing are in legislative policy that are really attacking, you know, what it means to have women's rights, to be a woman, to be a human being, quite frankly. And I've witnessed extremism continue to take its toll on the whole state, but in particular with women. And we see that in this new world we're living in with these total abortion bans with really no exceptions. We have a criminal ban here. People want to say there are certain exceptions. There really aren't. And we can talk a little bit more about that as you want. But the real troubling thing is the increased restrictions on women's rights and our access to things that really matter. You know, I had a bill to increase access to contraception 2 years in a row that got killed and 2 years prior to me trying. So I think that's really the biggest thing I've seen in changing.
And Representative Necochea, a similar question to you. What changes have you seen during your tenure at the State House?
Thanks, Gemma. I've seen not enough progress among the body as a whole in terms of the representation of women. I will say on our side of the aisle, women really are leading.
our Democratic caucus is pretty evenly split. And then in terms of our leadership positions, women are dominating those positions. So that is a bright spot, but that's not what's happening on the other side of the aisle. And as Senator Wintrow said, we're seeing these attacks on women's rights. We're also seeing just, I think, a dereliction of duty in helping women be economically successful, making sure mm-hmm. we have access to childcare and just the other basic things that we need for the kitchen table economics to pencil out in families. So we have a long way to go, and we have a legislature that's more male than the population and also a lot older. And I think they're a little out of touch with what it takes to raise a family today and what those costs are. Mm-hmm.
So let's dig into that a little bit. So Representative, you brought up, the fact that there are 49 men serving in the Idaho House of Representatives, 21 women serving. And we should say there are 24 men in the Idaho Senate. There are 11 women in the Idaho Senate. So big gaps there. When we look at our state population, it's almost 50% women, 50% men. So when we think of this idea of representation, right? And Senator Wintrow, you and I have spoken about this on our program before, in the sense of why representation matters. And, I believe that representation on all levels matter, right? We have almost 50% of men in our state. We need male representation, right? But right. to have it at the level that it is in the state house, how do you think that impacts, let's focus on the Senate.
Well, when we don't have folks in the room that represent a wide variety of lived experiences in our state, it's much easier to intentionally and unintentionally leave them out, right? And so mm-hmm. I think it does change the presence of the room when there are more women. There are women of color, if there's somebody who's gay, right? It is much harder, or if there's somebody, if there's a person of color, it's much harder for folks in the room to denounce critical race theory when they really have to look somebody in the eye who's being harmed, right? We saw that with Representative Mathias in his House speech. I think you have to have people with lived experiences in the room to center policies to really meet the needs of a diverse and wide array of people. And when you have a majority of anything, it is much easier to lose sight of a variety of voices. And and really, this notion of one party rule in our state has really, I think, a good illustration of that.
And similar question for you, Representative Necochea. As I said, there are 49 men serving in the Idaho House of Representatives, only 21 women. That is not even close to being, a 50% split there. How do you think that impacts what happens at the state house?
I see it in the votes that are taken. One of our Republican colleagues stood up and made an unfortunate statement when we were debating a bill to simply approve some grant funds that were going to go and support these preschool locally designed preschool programs in small communities all across the state. And his statement was that he couldn't support it because, anything that would encourage, a woman to leave the home was something that he couldn't support. And he apologized for that, for those remarks, understanding that that was hurtful to women. Nonetheless, he and the majority of his colleagues, continue to vote down policies like that, policies that help women be financially independent, that help them work and take care of their family.
And I only have about a minute and a half left until we go to break. But Senator Wintrow, if we could quickly even go further on that issue that Representative Necochea brought up, is that if you are putting these laws in place and restrictions in place, right, things like lack of child care, not helping women to have the resources to be economically independent, yet you then put abortion laws in place that then, don't allow women to make a choice about their own bodily autonomy. It it almost ends up being, you know, you definitely feel like a second class citizen in your own state.
Yeah, I think that's well said. And I think these policies really are about whether it's said out loud or not, the effect is that it's controlling women's lives. And to not be able to make decisions about your own life, when and if to have a child, that is the linchpin to economic independence, right? And when over half, three quarters of the building doesn't know what it's even like to be pregnant or potentially be pregnant, and making these kind of policy decisions that limit our ability to control our lives, to pursue happiness and liberty, right? That is a problem, and it is alarming. And women all over the state, regardless of party, need to understand that this government is trying to control all aspects of our lives and limit our possibilities. And that is alarming to me.
Mm. So Senator Wintrow, you know, we touched on so many of the issues that are facing women in Idaho, things from earning less than men to reproductive rights here in our state. But I'm curious, in your mind, what do you see is the biggest issue, factor, hurdle facing women in Idaho today?
Wow. Gemma, had I known you were going to ask that, I would have really thought harder. But wow, I think there's so many, right?
Yeah.
But I think I think your question really about, you know, representation of really what it, you know, in policymaking of what it means to live our lives, to feed our families, to be housed. There are just so many. But, you know, having ample representation in government does matter. And, you know, we see that in other places where, you know, women are in those positions and the kind of policies we're trying to push, because we want to make people's lives better. We want people to thrive. So, you know, possibly it could be representation as the number one factor that's, you know, getting in the way of that. I'll defer to Lauren if she has some other answers. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so many economic things with housing, childcare, wages, you know, that really are impacting how, you know, mm-hmm. we're being able to live our lives here in Idaho.
Well, let me ask this, and please, either of you answer this question. I mean, as we were sitting here and I'm listening to you, Senator Wintrow, I mean, you named off so many that, I mean, maybe that is the, I'm wondering if maybe that's the broader issue then, is that there are frankly too many to name for women.
I would say all of those things add up. The one that I hear the most about is that Idaho is no longer a state where it's even safe to be pregnant. So, you know, your choices mm-hmm. have been taken off the table. But I, you know, had a moment on the House floor where I kind of emotionally shared a conundrum for me having two daughters, is that I so very much want them to raise, you know, their families in Idaho and be here. And, you know, maybe go off to school or whatever they want to do, but come back here and put their roots down here like I did. And yet at the same time, I can't in good faith encourage them to come back to a state and raise their families where it's not safe to be pregnant, where we don't even have an exception in our abortion laws to protect the health of the patients. And since I made that statement, I'm just hearing from a lot of parents struggling with that same conundrum, where, you know, the next generation, their kids are maybe thinking about moving back to Idaho, but to see that it's a hostile place. I was talking to a farming family out in eastern Idaho over the weekend. They're farming. They want the next generation of their family to be able to farm, and that next generation wants to farm, but they're out of state right now, and they don't want to come back to Idaho because it's so hostile to women mm-hmm. and not a safe place to be pregnant and to start your family. So I think that one is hitting a nerve more than the things that are a little bit, I don't know that people always know why, you know, childcare is so expensive, and that, you know, or that Idaho is one of the very few states that doesn't invest in preschool at all. I don't know if people always know the policy and intentions behind those difficulties and challenges they're experiencing, but I think they're understanding and learning pretty quickly that the way their reproductive rights and their abortion rights have been taken away is intentional. and is making this an unsafe place.
So, Senator Wintrow, what do you think it would take to get more women into politics here in Idaho? And I ask that because I think there's also this idea that, you know, we're a one-party state, right? And there's this assumption that only women are Democrats who are in the state house, and that's not true. And when we talk about representation mattering, I mean, representation, as you mentioned earlier, matters in all segments of society, right? So it's not just women who tend to be maybe having more socially progressive views. We all, because that doesn't fully make up the women in Idaho. So with that said, what would it take to engage more women to get involved?
Yeah, thanks, Gemma. You know what? I think, you know, first and foremost, you got to see it to be it. So, you know, I take very seriously, I know Representative Necochea takes very seriously our positions as role models to younger women. And so actually, when I was at Boise State years ago, I was a project manager of New Leadership, National Education for Women. It's out of the University of Rutgers. And they found through their research in the 90s that more women will run for office if they have training and mentoring. Because if you don't see yourself in the position yet, you've got to have mentoring to get there, right? And if it's already predominantly men, it's harder to see yourself there. So, you know, for example, I always try to hire interns and make sure that there are young students, including young women, that have access to government. Take that very seriously, getting high school and college students really involved with their government. And so they can see that it's not a scary thing and that they belong there too. And I think that does work. When you have mentoring, training, and more people there, it will continue to grow. So what it takes, I think, one on the base level is for us as women leaders to take, you know, make our role approachable, invite people in, give them access, and help train them and give them the supports they need to take. You know, when I'm ready to pass that baton, somebody else comes in.
So Representative Necochea, but how important is it then to also, you know, not just have women out there encouraging other women, younger women to take office, but frankly, to have men as allies who are saying, yes, we need better representation. We need, you know, more women in the legislature. We need for people to see themselves in the state house.
Right. So men are half of the electorate, as you pointed out earlier. So we do need, you know, men to be on board with electing women. And I think they are. I think when qualified women candidates stand up to run, I think male voters, you know, take note and come along. I just think more needs to happen with asking women and encouraging women to take on the leadership role. You know, women are the workhorses behind both major political parties in our state. When I was listening to the rhetoric with the recent controversy in the Idaho Republican Party, where the Republican women's caucus was taken off of their voting rights on the executive committee were taken away, there was a lot of rhetoric about how these Idaho Republican women are doing all of the work. And so I think that something needs to happen over there where all these women are already engaged in the political process, but they're not being encouraged to run, perhaps, and take the leadership role. They're being kept behind the scenes, delivering yard signs and doing that sort of work. So I think we have made more progress on our side of the aisle. And it's in part, it's things that Senator Wintrow just mentioned. We're doing the same thing at the Idaho Democratic Party with our new Field Fellows program, where we're getting young college students hired and then trained to do organizing. And that's just the essence of running for office is organizing. So it's the perfect entry level experience. And we're more often than not, the people showing up and wanting those positions are women. So that's really exciting. I don't know what's happening on the other side of the aisle and why more women aren't taking the step of filing for office. But I do think the men who are in those positions of power already can play a role in encouraging, you know, identifying those women who are good candidates and encouraging them to run.
So I'm curious as well, then, with this idea of You know, as you said, Representative, you know, women are the workhorses on both sides of the aisle. I think women tend to be workhorses in so many situations that how do you then say, you know, we can help you in the sense of let's not just put one more thing on a woman's plate, which is we also need you to run for office. Does that make sense?
Yes. And I think, you know, opportunities like what the Alturas Institute is doing to help women get kind of the skills and confidence are a piece of that. But then, yeah, we need to have their backs. And if men would step up and help with the door knocking and yard sign delivery and all of those pieces and, you know, raising the funds, that would help too.
Dr. Adler, what are you hoping that the folks take away who come to Conversations with Exceptional Women this week? And let's specifically talk about this panel that Senator Wintrow and Representative Necacea will be on, which is Women, Politics, and Rights in Idaho.
Sure. Thank you, Gemma. I think this panel, this session at 3 p.m. on Thursday, which, by the way, precedes a panel on which you're serving. I want to mention that on Women in Media, and thank you for participating on that very important panel. But this session featuring our guest today is critically important because in Idaho, as across the nation, women have suffered terrific blows to their fundamental rights. As everyone knows, following the Supreme Court's decision in the Dobbs decision to overturn Roe versus Wade, stripping women of their fundamental reproductive rights, states have followed up with very draconian legislation, including Idaho, which saw, of course, the Idaho GOP legislators enact one of the most repressive laws in the country. And that was followed up by even more repressive legislation, including the No Public Funds for Abortion Act, which essentially imposes censorship on the ability of professors to discuss abortion and reproductive rights. So that's a harm not only to professors' academic rights, Gemma, but also to mm-hmm. students' rights to be educated in a well-rounded way about this important issue. And I really hope that those who attend our conference appreciate that the Alturas Institute's goal is to promote women's rights and gender equality. And by listening to our two representatives, along with Representative Ilana Rubel and Mayor Lauren McClain, that they'll have a sense of four eloquent women who speak very wisely and insightfully about the issues confronting women, not only involving representation, which has been so wonderfully addressed today during your program, but also the importance of reproductive rights. And I think that if we were to take our cue from anybody, we might listen to former Supreme Court Justice Sandra Day O'Connor, who in a 1992 landmark decision for the Supreme Court said that women's rights begin with reproductive rights. She well knew if women don't enjoy the right to make that most fundamental choice about their futures, families, then they cannot make decisions about the job market and education. So this is not a liberal versus conservative issue. This is a matter that goes to the deepest levels of women's rights, and that's important for us.
Well, I want to thank all three of you for coming on and speaking with us today. Such important conversations to be having. Remember, both Senator Wintrow and Representative Necacea will be speaking at the Women, Politics, and Rights in Idaho panel this Thursday. It's part of Conversations with Exceptional Women. It will be at the Yonke Center in Boise. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story. Now, we're taking center stage. Introducing NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, a collection of Black-led stories from NPR's podcasts. Search NPR Black Stories, Black Truths wherever you get your podcasts.